Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end.
Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Bingen, Derek Mason, Willie Donick is scheduled to join us in this hour. We'll continue our conversation previewing the Titans game in week one against the Chicago Bears. Now, before the show, Derek, I was collecting the predictions for the Titans record from the station. And it's an interesting mix. So would you rather me start from the most optimistic projection for record or the least optimistic?
Let's go with the pessimistic.
Okay.
Pessimistic.
Yes.
Yeah, pessimistic.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Words are hard. I mean, I get it. Words are hard. So the most pessimistic member of the station is Big Joe Dubin, who predicts the Titans will go 5-12 this season. By far the most pessimistic member of the station at 5-12.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why Big Joe just went 5-12. Yeah.
He has said many times that Brian Callahan's decision not to remove Jeffrey Simmons from practice during training camp when he got into the fight.
That changed it.
That changed everything for Big Joe Dubin. I remember he said at one point on the Chase and Big Joe show that if the Titans win more than five games, Brian Callahan should be coach of the year.
Yep, he did say that.
It's safe to say that Big Joe Dubin, not a believer in the Tennessee Titans this season. Big Joe Dubin at 5-12. Coming up next, a three-way tie here at 7-10 between myself, Jared Stillman, and Robbie Stanley. So the three of us have the Titans finishing 7-10. Big Joe Dubin at 5-12. Next is Willie Donick at 8-9. Then yourself at 9-8. And now this was a whopper.
Doozy right
Chase
there.
McCabe. Not only does Chase McCabe have the Titans going 10-7, he has them winning the AFC South.
Mm.
So on the same show, you have someone going 5-12 and someone else going 10-7 winning the division. So the rosiest member of the station is Chase McCabe. The opposite can be said of Big Joe Dubin at 5-12.
So there was no homers running around here. Even Chase is
10-7 and winning the AFC South.
I don't think that's a homer.
That's a homerish take. Absolutely.
We can't say that's all. That's not a homer take because he does have things that he's concerned about with the Titans. And he has picked against the Titans before, and he has said the Titans are a bad team. So I don't think it's a homer pick. I just think he's a little bit more optimistic than anyone on the station.
To clarify, today was their question of the day was, what is your hottest take for the Tennessee Titans this season? And that was Chase's hot take for the Titans. So you could take it as a face value, that's his prediction of the season, or that's Chase's hot take prediction of the season.
Ben on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says that Jared and Ian both picked like five wins before. I guess that was before the preseason, though. So, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You'll just have to forgive us for 1 second. So Jared made this point yesterday, and who am I to argue with Jared Stillman? I don't want to deal with that. So Jared and Ian have an expectations show where they pick what their expectation for the Titans is based on games they will win, they should win, are toss-ups, they should lose, or they will lose. That's a different show from the prediction show. The prediction show apparently is what counts, not the expectation show. So Jared had five wins in the expectation show, but seven wins in the prediction show. Mm. So you have to lock Jared in, according to Jared, into the 7-10, not the 5-12. But the texter is right. Ian, his expectation was four wins. I don't know if we have a prediction from Ian. We might have to get that before the end of the show when he comes in. But there are two different things. I don't know why there are two different things. I feel like it's just a loophole for Jared to wiggle his way out of making a prediction. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, but you always got to give yourself an out.
Yes, you always have to give yourself an out. So Big Joe Dubin at 5-12. Myself, Jared, and Robbie at 7-10. Actually, I don't know what Rex Road was. I think Rex Road was 8. Actually, I forgot Rex Road. Rex Road was at 8-9-2, I believe. So okay. Willie and Rex Road at 8-9. Derek at 9-8. Chase, his hot take, I guess, which will count as his prediction, 10-7. And winning the division. Caleb says on our text lines, 90% of listeners can't comprehend that. LOL. I'm assuming the expectations versus the predictions. I don't get it either. But again, who am I to argue with Jared Stillman? It's a lost cause trying to reason with Jared sometimes. But either way. So the news of the day yesterday was that DeAndre Hopkins, according to Taylor Lewan, who, hey, who am I to disregard what Taylor Lewan has to say? He obviously played for the team. He still has contacts inside the building. Taylor Lewan said on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast that DeAndre Hopkins will not play on Sunday. Now, we played a clip earlier of Teron Davenport talking to DeAndre Hopkins about those reports, and Teron was on the morning show this morning with more on DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I think he'll be questionable. You also have to add Paul Kaharsky. He got the MCL news that was the injury, a torn MCL. So that kind of made me take a step back, like, oh, okay, maybe he will be out. But we'll see. I mean, watching him run around, he seemed to be okay, right? He went through all the drills in the individual period. But it's one of those things where you never know. Like they may, as Ty Tober said, and be trying to protect him from himself and keep him from playing. Or maybe he'll see, you know, 20, 30% of the snaps as a way just to kind of work into seeing all of them.
That was Teron Davenport with Robbie and Rex Rowe talking about DeAndre Hopkins. We have another unnamed texter. We're going with Timmy Turner. Timmy Turner on our text line.
I like Timmy Turner.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, to your point earlier, Derek, I agree we need Traylon to show up, but how long or how many games do you think we will have to force feed him and try to get him going early and help him out, hoping he will get it together? NWI can line up everywhere, and he has proven to be more consistent.
And listen, you're absolutely right about that in regards to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Wherever you put this kid, he finds a way to make a play. That's all you can ask for him. So I'm not going to sit here and try to, you know, downplay NWI's importance to this offense. But when talking about Traylon Burks, I'm not saying every game you got to get him involved first. I'm just saying this first game of the season, when D-Hop potentially can be out, you know everybody's going to gear to stop Calvin Ridley. You have to find that second option very quickly or that third option very quickly and get those guys comfortable early on. Because if you get those guys comfortable early on, you know what it's going to do with the defense? It's going to shift the defense. Now they got to worry about the other two rather than just one guy in Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley will enjoy that too, because as we continue to go in the game, into the first quarter, into the second quarter, now that I've gotten these guys involved, Tyler Boyd, Traylon Burks, now the defense has to shift over a little bit. Now they can't put all their attention on Calvin Ridley. And you know what happens? Come the second quarter, third quarter, Calvin Ridley will show up. He will prove why you gave him the money, or at least that's my opinion. You don't have to go to him right away, even though I do believe they will try to get him involved very early because he's their big money guy. He's their number one guy. But if you want the defense to have to play it honest, get those other guys involved. More importantly, get Traylon Burks involved. And then you can let the offense sort of materialize into what it's going to be. Calvin Ridley, they're going to find Calvin Ridley no matter what. But if you want this offense to go the way we expect it or hope it goes, you got to make sure you get those other guys involved. If you sit back and have the same sort of tactical view on it like they did last year and just throwing it to one guy, you know what your offense is going to be? Pedestrian. That's what it's going to be. So you got to make sure you get all these other guys involved, and then you can get your big play guy involved. Or you get your big play guy involved early, and then you're able to get these other guys as well.
Good word, pedestrian.
Ah, yeah.
I'm learning something from you.
Oh, man.
Doug Funny on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You guys are not signing your texts. I mean, I can go
they
all day.
They want you to do this.
I can
they
go all day
you.
With Nicktoons characters, man. Doug Funny on our text line says pros and cons in terms of DeAndre Hopkins potentially being out. The obvious con is that DeAndre was the only player, he says only in quotes, to emphasize, is the only player Will Levis meshed with last year. The pros are greater. See how well our offseason money was spent. See how Callahan schemes to get other players involved. Watch the run game and our backs get involved. All things considered, Titans were/are a bad team, and confidence can only grow.
There was two things that made that happen. Two things last year. And again, I said this before the season even started. Where was the familiarity with on that team? Who had the most familiarity with one another? Who did? On that team last year. Y'all can't tell me. I can tell you, just to spare you the time of thinking, the OC and the receiver. Those two guys had history together in Houston. So what do you think he was going to do? And I said at the beginning of the season, they're going to defer to DeAndre Hopkins. Why? Because he has a history. The OC has a history, and he trusts him. That may have been sort of, that can be a hindrance. It can be a good thing, but it also can be a hindrance. Why? Because the OC is setting things up for the guy he feels comfortable with, not everybody else. And that's how that offense ran. There was times where I would be like, give Chris Moore the ball, because when you throw him the ball, he catches it. Throw it to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Why? Because when you throw him the ball, he catches it. But it wasn't that way until they had to make it that way. Brian Callahan, in his offense, even with Calvin Ridley there, he has to give Will Levis the leeway to throw it to everybody, not just the big money guy, because eventually, if that does happen, it's going to throw your offense off whack. When one guy is getting 90% or 70% of the targets, the other guys cannot get into the flow of the game. I'm just telling you how it is. It hasn't changed. No matter who the players are, no matter how much money they're paying them or how much money they're not paying them. If that indeed happens, these other guys, they don't benefit. No one benefits if you just look at one guy. And that's what they did so much so with D-Hop, is they targeted him 100, and I said this yesterday, 133 times. The next closest receiver was 46 times. 46 times they targeted the next closest receiver. You're not winning a football game, or you're not winning consistently if that is indeed the case.
What are some of the matchups that you're looking forward to watching in this game on Sunday?
I want to see let me pull this up because I had it. Okay, here we go. I want to see the Chicago Bear secondary because they have a pretty good secondary. I want to see those guys, in particular, Jalen Johnson, who is their best corner. I want to see if they match him up with Calvin Ridley, because D-Hop not being here, not playing, will they just leave Johnson on one side of the field, let him play, you know, on the left or the right? Or will they, if D-Hop doesn't play, will they take Johnson and they mirror him with Calvin Ridley? That's what I want to see, because if that happens, how does Brian Callahan sort of operate the offense based upon that? Because this secondary and this defense is a pretty good defense and a pretty good secondary. So what do they do with their top corner? Do they follow their top corner with Ridley, or do they just play it honest? I haven't watched enough Chicago Bear football from a defensive standpoint nor from an offensive standpoint to tell you what they're going to do in regards to their best, one of their best players on defense. But if indeed they do that, how then does Brian Callahan adjust his offense? from a passing standpoint.
How do you think the matchup of Montez Sweat versus the Titans offensive line will go?
If this was Mike Vrabel, Mike Vrabel and his staff would say, you block him by yourself. We don't care. Block him by yourself. Well, sometimes I don't care how good you are, you still need a little help unless you're Trent Williams, Jonathan Ogden, one of these B-hop, and I'm talking about Brad Hopkins back in the day. You can leave those type of guys on islands by themselves. But even at times, you got to help them. So to me, if you take the approach, J.C. Latham or P.T. can handle one of these guys one-on-one, I think you're taking the wrong approach. Until they prove it, I'm going to give them help when I need to give them help. So to me, you always want to keep that left tackle, regardless of how good he could potentially be. This is his first game. This isn't Montez Sweat's first game, okay? He's a pro. He's a pro bowler. He's a damn good player. So you give him the help when you think he needs it.
Montez Sweat led the Bears last season with 6 sacks. As a team, they had 30, which was 31st in the NFL, ahead of only the Carolina Panthers, who had 27. So not a defensive line that got a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
And he came to the Bears when? That was a trade in the middle of the season, wasn't it?
I don't recall when it was.
I think that was a trade at the trade deadline that they made with Montez Sweat, because he came from the Washington Commanders over to the Chicago Bears. So I'm thinking now he's entrenched in that defense, he's going to be even a better player than he was last season.
615-737-1025. Our texter, oh God, I got to come up with another Nick tune here. Man, did I already say Doug Funny?
Yep, you said Doug Funny.
Oh, man. Angelica Pickles.
Angelica Pickles.
On our text line says, Montez Sweat also led the Commanders in sacks last year. I don't know how many sacks he had with the Commanders. He must have had 6 with the Bears only. I'd have to look that up. Thank you, Angelica, for pointing that out. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to get your reaction. Also, just be prepared. Ask D-Mays coming up at 12:30. So get your questions in for Derek on our text lines, on our phone lines, but we'll continue with the reaction next to the potential news of DeAndre Hopkins not being available for week 1 against the Bears. Adam Bingham, Derek Mason, 1025-1063,
the game. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Willie and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. It's time for Ask D-Mace here on Willie and D-Mace. Adam Bingen, Derek Mason, Willie Donick should join us shortly. But it is Friday. It's around 12:30.
Friday.
It's time for Ask D-Mace. So get your questions in. 615-737-1025. You can ask Derek anything you want. It could be about football. It could be about life. It could be about that time someone thought he was a dentist.
They still text in, by the way. The people still mess with me about it.
Yeah, they're looking to get their crowns fixed,
exactly.
Man.
Absolutely.
So one note to pass along, since we have been talking about DeAndre Hopkins. He is practicing again today, according to our friend Teron Davenport. Teron also mentions that he did not have a sleeve on his left leg, unlike yesterday. DeAndre Hopkins practiced once again. He didn't have a sleeve on his left leg, unlike yesterday. No sign of Jamal Adams during the open portion of practice. So I think we can count Jamal Adams out, which is not a great sign for a guy who came here on a prove-it deal, who has been unable to stay healthy, and he may not be available for week 1 for his new team. Not great in terms of the image rehab for Jamal Adams.
Yeah, and today, people, today is a tapered down day. Tremendously, you will see Well, they won't see because the media guys and gals have to leave right after warm-ups and individuals. But you got 2 minute, you got a little move the ball situations. And I think it'll probably be a little red zone today. But a lot of today is just tying up some loose ends, you know, getting everything sort of tidied up and whatnot, running some plays that you're going to run in the red zone or 2 minute. So that's what today is about. So I don't expect D-Hop to practice at all, really. May get some 2 minute inning, but today is a real light day anyway. Because it's 2 days before the game, so it's not going to be taxing on his body regardless if he's going to play or not. Today is a taper down day.
One note to pass along is a couple of our texters mentioned. Montez Sweat had 6.5 sacks for the Commanders before going to the Bears. So he had 12.5 total sacks, 6.5 with the Commanders, 6 with the Bears. And that 6 with the Bears in a truncated season with the Bears still led the Bears in sacks.
Exactly.
So something that the Titans offensive line is going to have to contend with on Sunday. But it is time for Ask D-Mace, and Eric is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with a question for Derek. Eric, go ahead.
Yes, I've also got a dad joke. Yeah, so hopefully you like this, guys. I had to make sure I called in today. I don't know how much longer I'll be calling in, guys, because it appears I may have finally found a job. I'm just waiting
on
them to call me back as far as the background check. They shouldn't turn up anything, so I think I'm going to be starting my job either sometime next week or the following week. So, but here's my dad joke, guys. I had a friend of mine who's an investor. He loved to invest it into the market, the stock market, and the soups and all this sort of stuff. And animals, you know, to make money. So he invested in beef stock and, of course, chicken stock, you know. And it was, like I said, it was invested in soups and the stock market and everything. But he made quite a bit of money. He made a bullion.
I like that.
I'm glad
one.
You like it.
I like that one.
Like I said, I have no idea when the next time I'll be calling in, guys, but I definitely wanted to leave y'all laughing.
So, well, thank you,
a couple of quick things before I get to my teammate. I don't know if you saw this. Taylor Lewan now is part of the ESPN family, apparently, because he was on Get Up and First Take this
morning. Yeah, I saw him this morning on there.
Yeah. And I don't know if you heard about this. This is a message that y'all probably be interested in. I don't know if you heard about this. But First Take, of course, does HBCUs. They're going to be in Nashville on Friday, October the 11th, with Stephen A. Smith, Molly Karam, and Shannon Sharp at TSU. Basically, it's first come, first serve. So I didn't know if you knew about that, but I saw that this week. So,
go Tigers!
Yeah, which means I'm guessing they're interviewing Eddie George too on that day. Mm-hmm. So my ask to you, Derek, is this: I really think the Titans. I don't know if they're going to win, but I like them plus points against the Bears. And the interesting thing, I saw a stat where they're saying the rookie quarterbacks on their opening day are something like 14-30-1 or whatever it is. And I think they said the last quarterback that won in his rookie start on this opening day was, I think it was Derek Carr, and that's more than 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are picking the Bears, and they're saying, in fact, a lot of people, I've heard, think it's going to be a big-time blowout, which I don't buy. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game because I think, like they said, Caleb Williams is probably going to have some growing pains to do, and I think I've heard the Sharks are picking the Titans in this game. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that, Derek, and what do you think is going to happen? Good to talk to you guys. Y'all take care, tighten up, and we'll talk to you again whenever I talk to you again.
Thank you, Eric. Just to clarify the statistic, which we've talked about a lot, the last 15 quarterbacks selected with the top pick are 0-14-1 in their first start. David Carr, Derek's brother, was the last to win in that situation in 2002. Other one piece of news to pass along, DeAndre Hopkins will be listed as questionable per Brian Callahan. So DeAndre Hopkins officially questionable for week one against the Chicago Bears. But Derek, go ahead and answer Eric's question.
I mean, this game to me, it went from 4 points to 3 points, which means, you know, it's really a pick 'em. That's what it is, because you automatically more than likely going to get 1 to 3 points because you're at home. But I think this game is really, once Sunday come, I believe it's going to be a pick 'em. Either that is going to be 1 point, 1.5 points. I think that people are starting to really, you know, look at rookie quarterbacks starting their first game. And because all this information is coming out about rookie quarterbacks and their first start and the win-loss record over the last 12, 15, 30 years, and it hasn't been good for rookie quarterbacks. I don't care who the rookie quarterback has been. And we have had Hall of Famers that have been rookie quarterbacks that didn't fare well in their first game, i.e. Peyton Manning. So I expect it to go from, what is it, 3 now to possibly 1.5 points. 1.5 points, I think that's what it'll end up being once the, right before kickoff. But if you're going to play a rookie quarterback, I don't care how great he's going to potentially be. If you're going to play a rookie quarterback, you best play him his first game of the season. Why? Because he doesn't know you. He hasn't really got a taste of what the NFL is going to be. The NFL is nothing like it is in preseason. And I will repeat, the NFL is nothing like it is in the preseason. Once the preseason is over with, now the real ball starts. Everybody know that. So the stuff that you saw Denard Wilson doing in preseason, that was just scratching the surface of what he plans on doing this opening game. So to me, this is a good opportunity. If I'm going to pick, I don't care who the quarterback is, if I'm going to pick against a quarterback, it will be the first game of the season, a rookie quarterback, I mean. If I'm going to pick against a rookie quarterback, it's going to be the first game of the season. Why? Because he doesn't understand what he's getting into that first game. And when you go against a guy that has come from a background of blitzing, exotic blitzes, different defenses, confusing you, players in positions that you've never saw, when you're facing a guy like that, it's going to be hell on a quarterback, especially a rookie quarterback in his first start.
Wes in Clarksville asks, Derek, do you think Travis Kelce listened to or liked Taylor Swift's music before they started dating? Because most grown men don't like Taylor Swift's music.
As a grown man, if he was listening to Taylor Swift's music, I don't know. That's his prerogative. I mean, I don't. I never have, and I still don't. I'm not saying that she's not a great artist, because obviously she is, but that's just not my cup of tea when it comes to music. So I'm not sure if he was listening to it or not, but I tell you one thing, he better damn sure be listening to it now. If she's learning plays, you need to be listening to her music, point blank.
Well, he went to a Taylor Swift concert to shoot his shot, if I'm not mistaken. He had a friendship bracelet, which Taylor Swift fans like to collect and trade, with his phone number on it.
That is stalkish. That is like that.
How I mean, look,
Taylor, but sometimes you got to do that. Taylor, I mean, Swift, I get it. I mean, well, I don't get it, but it is what it is.
Taylor Swift is as protected as the president of the United States.
You got a point there.
So you have to do what you have to do.
But I'm not being stalkish or like weirdish.
He didn't follow her around the country. He went to the show in Kansas City.
Yeah, but a bracelet with his phone number on it.
Phone numbers, man, come on, dude.
I give him points for creativity.
I don't give him no points. I subtract points. I give him points for actually now. Oh, well, hell, I don't even give him points for dating her. He's dating her. That's not for me to give points or subtract points. But when it comes to bracelets and putting your phone number on there, yeah, you're a 30-year-old grown man.
Not in kindergarten.
Yeah, exactly. You're not in kindergarten or teenager.
All I'm going to
or
say,
in your 20s.
All I'm going to say is that Travis Kelce,
but he got her,
is dating, I would argue, one of the most desirable women in the world. A lot of people, a lot of men love Taylor Swift.
I'd argue that.
You could argue that. I said one of. I didn't say the. Or did I say the?
I don't think.
I even remember what I said 10 seconds ago.
Taylor's not even top five in my opinion.
Listen, whether she's
other people up there.
Yeah, whether she's top five or top 105, he got her or she got him, and it is what it is. But the bracelet, yeah, that's a little bit corny-ish, weirdish.
I listen to Taylor Swift because when my wife drives, that's what she listens to. And she's an incredibly talented artist. Now, would I go to the Taylor Swift show? Probably not. But I can appreciate good music when I hear it. And I think she is a very talented artist. Ron on our text line says, Derek, let's say your son did something bad and you punished him to his room. And later that night, he sneaks out of his room and goes to a party where he saves a person's life. And the way you find out is through the news. Would you still punish him? Or would you let it slide? Would you let it slide because he saved someone's life?
I would still punish him because you left the house when I told you not to leave the house.
But someone's alive because your son broke the rules.
I get that. But just because you broke the rule, just because you saved somebody's life, doesn't mean that you're not getting punished for breaking the rules.
They've got like a Medal of Honor or something.
The rules is there. I would be happy that you saved someone's life. Get it. You were there. But you also left the house when I told you not to leave the house. So therefore, your punishment will be extended however long I think it should be extended. You know, just because you saved somebody's life, which is great, but just because you saved somebody's life doesn't mean then you get a pass. No, you left the house when I told you not to leave the house.
Drill Sergeant D-Base over here.
You better be lucky I don't whoop your little fanny, you know? Because if he left the house, he's old enough, so he can't get a whooping anymore. So he would just be, you know, commandeered to his bedroom, you know?
It's a different time.
Yeah. It's a different.
No more corporal punishment with child raising.
It's not about corporal punishment, but if my son was small, yeah, I would take a belt to his ass.
It'd be impressive if a small child could save someone's life.
Yeah, you got a point there, too.
That's all I'm saying.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if you did something, even if you're a small child, and I'm not saying small child as in 5 years old. I'm saying small child, you're like in between that 10, 12 years old, 9, 10, 12 years old. Yeah, I'm still going to put a belt to your backside. I'm one of those parents, and ain't nobody going to tell me different because it's either me raising you right or them out there, they don't care. They're going to, if you do something wrong, they ain't gonna sit there and say, oh, little Derek, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. No, they're going to throw your ass in jail. So it's better for me to get you now so they don't get you later. And I'm not talking about corporal punishment, people. I'm talking about me taking a belt to his backside every now and then if he does get out of line. That's just me.
Trey, I like it. I'm in.
Trey from Antioch wants to know, Derek, why Joe Rexroad is so negative towards Jared Stillman.
You got to ask.
How much time do you have? We don't have enough time in this segment to answer this question.
There could be many reasons why Joe and Jared, they go at each other.
It's highly entertaining.
Do you know why they go at each other? Because they love each other so much. That's what I have come to the realization. That Joe and Jared, they're like long lost brothers. And they're going to go at each other like brothers. They love each other. That's all I can come up with.
All I'm saying is as much as Jared likes to get on Joe for the things that Joe says or writes, I know that Jared holds Joe in high regard.
Oh, of course
so
he does.
But I do love when they're bickering and Joe just starts screaming into the telephone. It's one of the more entertaining things you can hear. So who knows why? Well, actually, we do know why. Yeah. Because, look, Jared says some ridiculous things. I know a lot of people like to get on Jared, but most of the time, Jared's pretty spot on with things that he says. He's a bit bombastic about it, which can drive people crazy. Don't get me wrong. I've been the victim of this too. It's much less over the years. When Jared and I first really got to know each other, I was a lot like Joe reacting to Jared. I've softened in my older age. 615-737-1025. An unnamed texter. We'll get to a Nicktoon character next time. Says, I agree. I would extend the punishment, but I would give him some type of reward for what he did.
Yeah, I can understand that. Like, once he get off punishment, it's like, okay, that was a great thing. You know, I would take him to see the family before I put him on punishment. I would take him to go see the family and let the family, you know, thank him for whatever. And, you know, I let them do all that stuff. But make no mistake, once we get back home, brother, your punishment is still your punishment.
615-737-1025. Continue to get your questions in for Derek Mason. Join Derek Mason with Jared Stillman and Chris Sanders at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for the pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 1 road matchup against the Chicago Bears and give you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Sundeck Nashville. This week's Nashville Best Deal is from River Queen Voyages. River Queen Voyages is the most fun and unique way to see the downtown skyline from the water. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to River Queen Voyages while supplies last. Adam Bingen, Derek Mason, Willie Donick will join us to start the third hour. It is Ask D. Mace, but Tennessee Ray is on the line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, because he wants to disagree with something that I said. Tennessee Ray, let me hear it.
Bro, I heard you say that Jared is usually correct on everything. Jared is not correct on everything. He just boasts on the things that he's correct on. So I can understand where you're brainwashed. So my question is to ask Derek, is there any way you can discipline Adam for believing that? If you don't have a belt, I'll bring mine to you. Thank you, Tennessee Ray.
Hold on, did you say, I don't think you said he was right about everything.
I don't think he's right about every. I do not believe that Jared is right.
I think
right.
he was being a little bit sarcastic
yes.
when he said that.
Jared is not right about everything. He is more well-reasoned than a lot of his listeners believe, because of how he delivers his opinions, it gives. I feel like that can influence how people think of what Jared thinks, if that makes sense.
Yes, that can, because of how he delivers, the information. It can make, listen, one thing about Jared, you're going to listen to him. Whether you hate him or you love him, you're going to listen to him. That's just the way it is. So face the facts. He's good at what he does. He's good at his job. And that's just how, when a person is good at what they do, you're going to watch that person no matter what, because you're always going to try to pick out something he didn't say right and try to go at him. Or if you love him, you love his takes and you love everything else. So, Jared is good at what he do, and he knows that. Hey, neither. You're going to hate him or love him, but you're going to listen to him.
I will tell you one time when I was the angriest I've been at Jared. I can't remember. It had to have been 2 years ago at this point. You know how Jared has his list of guarantees?
Yes.
He guaranteed, I think it was 2 years ago, he guaranteed that Duke would beat Tennessee in the second round of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. As a diehard Duke fan, as soon as I heard those words leave his lips, I texted him and said, that's the kiss of death, brother. And Duke was not... They were competitive in that game, but Tennessee always kept them at arm's length, and Tennessee won. So Jared was wrong about that. He guaranteed Tennessee would lose. They did not. But as soon as he said that Duke was guaranteed to win, I said, man, as soon as you said that, I knew there was no point of even watching the game at that point because of
that. He put the curse on him.
He did put the curse on me. David in Arkansas has a question for Derek. Aside from your rookie season, well, I guess he said you could also use your rookie season. Uh-huh. What was your most memorable opening day as a player?
Each one of them. And I'm being honest.
You got to pick one. You got to pick
each
one.
Each opening day was memorable. But let me say this. It had to have been my rookie year, because I got a chance to play. And play a lot in that game. Derrick Russell, who was the slot guy at the time, he ended up being injured for the first game. And I got extensive work as the third receiver, as the H, in the three receiver set. So that alone was, to me, the most memorable. Not because of the way I played or anything else. It was just the fact that, I got a chance to, be on the field and contribute my rookie season. First game of my rookie year, I got an opportunity to be out there with those veteran guys, Steve McNair, Eddie George, Brad Hopkins, Bruce Matthews, all those guys, Chris Sanders. Got a chance, the guys that I have been watching, now I'm out here playing with them. Even though we were playing in Memphis, it didn't matter at their stadium. It was just being out there with those guys. So to me, that was the most memorable one.
Let's see what
memorable
else. Let's see what else we have here. Also, while I look for the next question, because we do have a lot, it has been officially confirmed by Brian Callahan that Jamal Adams is out on Sunday. So for a player who has been dogged by injury concerns, not a great look that you're not going to be available for your first game with a new team.
Yeah, that's not good.
A lot of people I'm a bit surprised by this. A lot of people agreed with your take on the question about whether you would discipline your son.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And listen, because I had one, there's one texter on here. I think it's, is it, they don't have a name. So if you want to give them a name.
Angelica Pickles.
Angelica Pickles. Okay. Says, I agree. I would extend the punishment, but I wouldn't give him some type of reward for what he had done. I agree with that one. I would let the family that he helped save their child, I would let them give whatever reward they were going to give. So that's good. And then Tommy, is it Tommy?
Tommy Pickles?
Yeah, Tommy. No, they gave a name. So Tommy.
Okay.
He said,
Tommy and Angelica are cousins. just saying.
His actual name is Tommy. Okay. He says, amen, D-Mace. That's the problem with society. People don't spank that ass no more and let kids run them. Amen, Tommy. You don't know how many times I go to grocery stores or I'm out and I see these kids disrespecting their parents, telling their parents to shut up, cussing at their parents, all this. And I'm thinking, like, my mama would have threw a shoe at me if I cursed at her. I don't care if it was just cursing, period. Cursing around her. Like, there's a level of respect that your kids should give to the parent. Now, I get it. There's some situations where, you know, the parents are not doing what they're supposed to be doing as parents. They're not there protecting, taking care of their kids, and they're treating them as if they don't know. I get that. But for all the great parents out there that are doing it the right way, it's like, I don't understand you letting your kid run you. Sit down, little Derek. Sit down, little Tommy. Do this. No, sit your ass down or you getting it. That's because if you don't, I'm tired of talking. It comes to a point where talking and putting you on timeout, that stuff don't work for some children. Some children, yeah, it does work. Like my kids, when they were younger, I could just put them in their room and they'd be fine. They'd come out and they'd be fine. But I did have to spank that ass once. I did. And I'm going to tell you this. My daughter, I spanked her one time. Matter of fact, I hit her with the belt one time on her backside. It wasn't even hard. She had cried as if I had beat her with a pole or something. She was just falling out. Marcy come running upstairs. What do you do to that girl? I'm like, I didn't do anything. I barely hit her. So I knew that it was better just to talk to my daughter than to try to spank her. She understood. My son, on the other hand, I spanked him. His little ass looked at me like, you got more? I said, okay, I know what to do to you. You just stay in the room for now. But, yeah, if you got to spank your kids, listen, spank them. Because if you don't, somebody else will. And when I mean spanking, they're going to throw their ass in jail. Or the obvious extreme. You are going to be going to a funeral you don't want to be going to, point blank. Okay, so spank your kid if indeed you need to. That's me.
All I'm saying is Tennessee Ray called and wanted you to go cut a switch and smack me with it.
I'm not cutting no switches. I'm not doing that.
That's a little too far.
Yeah, that's that. I'm that. No, I'm not. But I would pick up my belt and do it old school. Just paint them on the backside. They get it. If they don't, then you got to try another method.
We have, let's see. What's
like a wooden spoon.
What is another?
I ain't going there.
Well, it wasn't directly at me. It was off to the side.
Oh, my. Speaking of spanking that ass, Sandy Cheeks on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, what advice would you give an aspiring sports journalist who wants to eventually host their own radio show and be successful in the industry?
Man, what advice would I give to you? Be knowledgeable about the things you're talking about. Know all the sports. I had to find that out very quickly when I first did my radio on this show. But I was lucky enough, to have some great individuals. D-Mac, I think Willie was there, Chase. Those guys knew hockey. and I had jumped in into the frying pan, and the frying pan was hot. Why? Because the Nashville Predators were going on their run to the Stanley Cup that year. So I jumped into the frying pan while it was hot, and I had to learn on the run. But having people like Darren and Willie and Chase, those guys helped me learn the game of hockey. Even to this day, they continue to help me learn. Yourself, especially Willie, him being a voice, television voice for the Nashville Predators. When we had Chris Mason on, all these guys and girls are able to allow me to learn the game more and more each time I cover it. So my advice would be to know something about all the sports, especially here in Nashville.
If I may interject,
yes,
I think one thing that I would suggest is be able to take a complex thing and describe it as simply as you can.
Exactly.
Because Derek played in the NFL for many, many years. There are things about the X's and O's of football that I'll never be able to understand. But what Derek does a good job of is being able to explain those concepts in a way that a normie like me, who loves football but doesn't know the ins and outs of everything that's going on in the field, he explains it in a way that I can understand, makes me a smarter co-host, smarter listener, smarter football fan. So if you are able to take something complex and describe it in a way that the normal, quote-unquote, fan of the sport that you're covering can understand, I think that's a really important skill, because I think one thing we've seen a lot of is people talking like experts, and there are podcasts, television shows, radio programs that are really good breaking down, you know, talking about concepts like they're actual football coaches, and sometimes they are actual football coaches, but sometimes that can go over someone's head.
Exactly.
So being able to simplify something complex would be my piece of advice. I think that is a really good question. So I think our last question here from Dre. Let's see. Actually, did I lose that question? That's a different Dre. It was about Derrick Henry. I'm going to paraphrase here. The question was about Derrick Henry and whether or not – oh, here it is. With all of the talk about Derrick Henry getting little snaps last night, do you think that could help prolong his career and play a few more extra seasons than he otherwise would by taking less hits and less punishment throughout the season?
I mean, there could be some truth to that. Adam, now what was the caller's name again? Texter's name again?
Dre.
So there could be some truth to that. Because of the workload he had to endure here in Nashville, then going somewhere like Baltimore, where yes, you are their number one option in regards to running a football, but they have other options as well that can run it and run it effectively, more importantly, the quarterback. So, again, getting Derrick Henry wasn't for September, October, and November. Getting Derrick Henry was for December and January, and for them, hopefully, into the Super Bowl, because they want to slow the game down. The elements are involved now. It's a little bit colder. That ball is like a brick. They're not throwing it around as much. They want to try to slow the game down. And the one thing that travels, there are two things that travels in this league. Really, one, that's defense. Defense travels well no matter where you go. But a good running game, no matter if it's 100 degrees or -5, if you got a good run game, that's going to carry you a long way. So getting Derrick Henry wasn't for now. And I understand how it looked last night. It was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was okay.
It started off well.
Exactly.
But then he was
out of the picture.
Right.
Because they were down.
Statistically, so he was a non-factor rest of the game after the touchdown drive at the start of the game.
Absolutely. But they didn't get him for the Kansas City game at the first game of the season. And they got him for, hopefully, in the AFC Championship game or when they have to play Kansas City, possibly in the divisional round. That's why they got Derrick Henry.
615-737-1025. Excellent questions. Even you, Tennessee Ray, who suggested that Derek beat my ass. So, excellent questions today on Ask D-Mace. Willie will join us in the next segment. Tune into 102.5, 106.3 The Game this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will take on Alcorn State at home with pregame beginning at 5 and kickoff at 6:30. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step 4, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.